Hello, this is Mac, and you're. Hello, this is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. That is, if I am on the air, like this thing says I am. It said I was a few minutes ago, and I wasn't because my guest couldn't hear me. So let's try again. My guest is Michael S. Rodriguez, if I can hear him. So hopefully this works this time. It should be dialing. So stay with me.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me this time, Michael?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. I'm glad we got a connection.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio, I've been having a lot of trouble with them because I've noticed that once I can talk to the person and they can hear me and everything, that it's usually on the air. So anyway, sorry about that. So we'll just
No, that's
right
okay. That's
it.
Fine. Sure.
So like I was telling them before you came on, my guest tonight, Michael S. Rodriguez. And one of the things I was going to ask you is, how old were you when you realized that you wanted to make movies?
You know, I get asked that question often, but I think when it really hit me, because I always had a really vivid imagination. I would dream, I still to this day dream really vividly about everything in details. And I would say it really hit me around the age of 8 when my grandparents took me to Universal Studios for the very first time, and I got to see how everything was done on, you know, that what we were watching on the screen, how Superman flew through the air and, you know, Jaws came up out of the water, and it really, really, that's what really ignited it. And then when I would watch movies, I would really kind of break down like how they did it, and, you know, oh yeah, that's how they figured that out. And then, you know, then I started breaking down the story, the subtext of what I was watching, you know, and it just stuck with me. And through high school, I was creatively writing and everything like that. So, I would say 8 years old, I think, is when it really, really sunk in that I think this may be for me.
Yeah, that's a pretty young age. How did you get started with it? Like home movies?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you asked me that question, because it's this kind of companions with the next one here is the next answer. But I really felt I had this knack for storytelling and everything at 8 years old. But when I was in high school, I went to my guidance counselor and I had asked him, I told him that I had aspirations to go to L.A. and I wanted to get into the film business. At the time, I really didn't know what area in entertainment I wanted to be in, but I knew that, you know, because I could sketch, I could paint, I could do all kinds of other things. So I just knew that my place was somewhere in entertainment. But he said, you know what? You come from a small farming community and they may just eat you alive there. So you know what? You should just do your general studies and then just fall into a trade. And I did that. Unfortunately, I listened and I did that. And I did that till I was in my late 30s. And I started writing as a hobby again. And I picked it up, and before you know it, people were like, hey, you're a pretty decent writer. And that's one thing I always want to kind of put out there is, like, you know, I started as a writer. My writing skills are very strong, and then I just fell into directing. But I started as a writer in my late 30s. I got kind of – I'm a late bloomer, but it's always been in me. And so I got into writing scripts for films a little less than a decade ago.
Yeah, wasn't it something like 2013?
I started kind of writing as a hobby in 2010, 2011, nothing professional, nothing like that. And then I started getting into some writing groups and people were reading it and they were saying like, hey, you know, you got some talent here. You should really try to network with other people and see if you can get this thing going. And by 2013 is when I actually stepped into the director's chair and I said, you know what, I'm going to direct something I've written, because a lot of times I started writing professionally and I was writing and basically like a ghostwriter or a contributing writer. And I wouldn't really necessarily get credit for any of the ideas I'd come up with or, you know, any help in storylines that I would help out with. But I thought to myself, you know what, I really want to stamp my name on something. So I wrote a script called Night of the Sea Monkey, and it was a short film, but it was like a 50-page script. And Lynn Lowry, I happened to, she had read some of my work prior, and we had been talking, and Lynn Lowry has been in The Shivers and Cat People, and, you know, she just a screen legend. And so I sent her this script, and she goes, I love it. I want to do this movie. So within 3 months in 2013, I organized, you know, a crew of, you know, the filmmakers, and I didn't even know if I wanted to direct it. I was just going to finance it. It was hard to do it because I couldn't find anybody that actually wanted to direct my script. So I ended up doing it, and we didn't know what we were going to get. And all of a sudden, we finished it in 4 days, and we got it in post-production, and it went off to film festivals, and it just started picking up steam. And then because I worked with Lynn Lowry, and she's a horror icon, I started getting, you know, interviews from magazines and podcast interviews, and it just kind of really, really took off from there.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, was she the one that more or less gave you your inspiration to let you know that you would be able to do this?
Yeah, you know what? I have to credit Lynn quite a bit because it was my first time really being on a set, because I had always written for other people and other directors, and I had never really been in that position before. And her coming from so much knowledge and an experience, I learned so much from her. And for my sophomore effort, I mean, I really brought it to the table what I learned from her. And I do have to credit Lynn. She's a heck of an actress. I mean, she came on set, and the very first scene was a scene that we hadn't rehearsed. We had talked about doing a kind of an impromptu monologue for her character. And I told her when she mentioned it to me, I'm like, well, let's rehearse it because we haven't really, it wasn't in the script. And, you know, anyways, you know how things go in show business. You know, when we mean to set aside a certain amount of time to do something, it never works out like that. Murphy's Law takes
right
over, and then all of a sudden we're like crunched for time. Well, that's what happened. So we end up having to do the monologue without any rehearsal, and it had been the first time I heard it, and it almost brought myself and the entire crew to tears. And that's when I knew I was working with, I mean, an amazing, legendary person. And I, like I said, it was just a mountain of knowledge I learned from my very first time out, and I've always carried it with me. Thank you, Lynn Lowry, if you're listening.
Oh, that's really, really sweet. And she is great, because I've seen her in lots of things. So I agree with you on how great she is. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, she's an amazing actress.
I agree. Is there like a process that you go through, like if you're going to write it or produce it or whatever it is that you're going to do on a film? Do you have a specific process that you go through, or do you just wing it?
You know, it's funny. I do have a process. It starts with anxiety, and it starts with knots in my stomach and a lot of pacing around. And, you know, I tell you, I'm working on a TV series, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the other night, because I'm directing and writing and directing one of the episodes, Monday night, I tossed and turned. I felt nervous. I got up, was pacing. It was because I had to write an additional scene. And, you know, so I guess you could say it's a mixture of that and winging it. I think it sometimes I get spurts of inspiration. A lot of artists, there's artists out there that, you know, like say you see like someone that draws portrait out on the pier, right? Or, you know, and they can just turn it on at will. They can turn it on and do what they have to do. And then you have certain artists that really, really, they have to have that burst of inspiration, and then they can,
right,
you know, they can create something. And that's me. That's me. I can't do it 24/7 like that. I have to really have this inspiration in me. And then once it goes, there's no stopping. I mean, I have to continue and I have to complete it. And so I think the process is, it's almost random. Like I guess you can say it's partially winging it, but I do put a lot of preparation into my filmmaking. I mean, I do shot lists, and I do, you know, we storyboard, and, you know, we do all the other technical aspects of it. But I would say a lot of it is like really like, you know, these bursts of inspiration. And then I start writing, and before that, I start adding more clay to the sculpture, and then we got a movie.
So out of all the things that you do, writing, directing, and I think you even acted in a couple of your movies, which one do you prefer, if you prefer one over the other?
That is such a tough question to answer, because my roots are in writing, because I love telling stories. And like when I wrote this episode that, you know, that I'm actually currently shooting right now, I mean, I wrote it. I was so excited about the episode that once I started going, I mean, I wrote the final draft within like less than 2 hours. And, you know, and there's a little adrenaline rush I get from writing. But I have to say that I think it's amplified when I'm actually in the director's chair and I'm listening to this story that I was typing like literally weeks ago, you know? So I think I would lean more towards the directing part, because it's just a magical, it's so magical when you're on set and you know you've created something and you're listening to these words, you know, be evoked, and they're coming out of these characters that you created, this world that you created. And now it's being recorded, and it's being a part of history, you know? And to me, that's just, it's amazing. It's always astonishing to me. Like, it never gets old. And so I'd say directing for sure.
Well, that's interesting, because it's got to be a rush to be directing something that you actually wrote. That's the way I'd look at it, like a great big rush.
Yeah, you know what I tell people? I said, some people go mountain climbing or they jump out of airplanes. I said, me, it's being on the seat of my pants in a director's chair, you know, trying to make it all come together from a thought. And it, to me, that's the ultimate rush for me.
Well, and you've done well. I probably haven't seen all of them, even though it's not that long of a list. But like I said in my advertisement for you, the amount of years makes it sound like you I'm not putting this out right, your credit, the number of your credits makes it sound like you haven't done a lot, but when you look at how you only started in 2013, it's actually quite a bit that you have there.
That's correct, because I tell people, you know, I said, it's funny because this business, you know, I started actually directing in 2013. I said, but it ages you in dog years, because you're constantly working at it. And and sometimes to the outside eye, it doesn't look like, you know, it's quite, you know, but I mean, we're constantly, like, if we're not filming something, we're planning something, we're in post-production with another piece. So, like, for me, it's been nonstop. It's been all year round team. And, you know, I mean, but I'm enjoying every moment of it. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it.
Well, since you had mentioned that Strange Files, we might as well talk about it. It's not like we have to go in chronological order or anything. That's a show that's on Avail Entertainment.
That's correct.
I'm sorry. You go ahead and you explain it to the listeners.
Oh, okay. Avail TV is a streaming platform. It's a channel that you can add to your Roku account or your Apple TV account, or, you know, anything that you have, a smart TV or a smartphone or tablet, any kind of device like that. You can add this channel. You can go online and you can stream films that, like, kind of like an on-demand service. And it's totally free. Like, you can watch like a Vincent Price movie on there. You can watch other independent directors that I, you know, some of these people are my friends. And they have their films on there, and you can watch these movies totally free. There's no charge. You don't have to, you know, pay for a rental or anything like that. And so anyways, I was talking with some of the execs there through Facebook, and I was planning to do something episodic, and I was going to do a short film and pretty much just stream it on Facebook Live, and, you know, just for fans to enjoy it. And we started, myself and Emil Inc., another director that I work with, we decided to do some kind of, you know, we decided to cause a little sizzle on Facebook, and we started making these mock-up posters Well, Avail, one of the Avail TV execs got a hold of me and says, hey, we'd love to stream your stuff. And so it kind of spun into, like, well, why don't we give them a series? I had been producing short films and helping other filmmakers for the last couple of years when I'm not directing. And I said, you know what? There's tons of stuff I can give them, you know, these episodes. So we started packaging episodes, and now they're premiering on Avail TV every second Friday of the month throughout this coming summer. So we have two episodes right now currently up, and then we'll have two more premiere, which will give you a total of four. And what these are is it's an anthology mystery sci-fi horror show. So it's a completely mixed bag. Different directors, different directing styles, all different stories. None of them connect with each other. You may have one about aliens. You may have one about vampires next week. So, it's just a mixed bag, and it's really been a pleasure to work on.
So you're getting to work with some of your friends as well on this show?
Yes. I've been working with Sparkle Sujian, who has helped me produce a few things, and she's my host actually of the show, and she's just a wonderful, very talented young lady. I really see her going somewhere as far as Scream Queens and in the horror genre. I think it's just going to be a matter of time, and she's going to probably become a household name in that genre. So she's my host, and we come up with storylines and things. So like I said, I'm in the middle of directing, producing, and writing an episode that will premiere in August, late August. So it's just a real exciting time. I love the fact that I'm able to do this. I feel very blessed and very, very fortunate for the opportunity.
Well, personally, I love anthologies, so I'm sure that I'll love the show. One thing I wanted to ask you, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. We're going to say something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay, because the sound gets messed up sometimes on here, so mm-hmm. This thing that you're working on, is it Shadow or Shadows?
Oh, Shadows, yeah, Shadows, yeah.
Okay, well, the thing I wanted to ask before you start talking about it, because you did some other movies with Shadow in the title. There was one called Like a Shadow and then Lake of Shadows. Is this movie connected with those two?
No, it's not. That one was a short film that I did, and we actually changed the title of that one, and it's called The Dark Lullaby. But on IMDb, it's still listed under Like a Shadow, because what that was I did an adaptation from a short story by a writer named Luc Bernier, and it was a really good dark story, and I actually shot that all in black and white. And I'm planning to hit the film festival circuit with that as soon as things start opening up after this whole thing with the COVID-19.
Right.
I'm looking to put that in film festivals. It's a half-hour short film. It's very very noir. It's very 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 dark, but very it's a supernatural film. It's really eerie, and it has Lynn Lowry in it. We reunited for this one. And she does a really good job on it.
And that's still the Lake of Shadows with the new name that you're talking about. Is that right?
Oh, no, this one's the Like a Shadow. Like a Shadow is now The Dark Lullaby. But Lake of Shadows is a feature film that I have. Yeah, Lake of Shadows is a feature film I have coming out. And that one is actually based on a historical lake out here in the Central Valley, where I'm from, out here in California, in Central California. There's a lake called Avocado Lake, and it's claimed over 150 lives and counting. There's a lot of them are, they're drowning, and recreational hazards and all this other stuff. But it's the simple fact that it's been happening since the 50s. And I mean, the death count is so high, and this lake is a man-made lake. It's not really a lake that runs off into a stream or a canal or anything like that. It's a man-made hole dug into the ground, and it devours people. And so I I got with my executive producer on it, who came up with the idea of doing a documentary slash horror film. So we actually took real testimonials, and I did reenactments. So you're kind of getting like a history lesson as well as a horror movie.
Cool. I might be interested in watching it myself.
You know what? What I'll do is I'll send you a screener, because we actually have a complete cut of that, and I'd love to send that to you, and you can view it and give me your thoughts.
Oh, cool. Because I don't know if Phil, our mutual friend, I don't know if he told you or not, but I am actually a semi-professional movie reviewer, so I can even write a review for you on IMDb. I mean, it won't show up as actual critic thing, but because of the name that I put it under, it's known by people. So once I put it out there, they know that that's me, even though it's not under my actual name, because I use a pseudonym.
Oh, okay.
So I would be more than happy to do that.
That's awesome.
Sorry,
I think after the show, we'll... Oh, no, that's okay. After the show, we'll connect, and I'll send you a screener.
Okay, cool. That sounds good to me. So now I got everybody confused about the like a shadow and lake of shadow. That was totally my fault.
Well, you know what's funny is that's okay. What's funny is that we had worries about it when I took on the project for Like a Shadow. I know that my other producers were worried that the title sounded too close to Lake of Shadows, and we decided to change it.
That actually probably was a good idea, because just talking about it just now got me confused.
Yeah.
Not really. I just wasn't sure which one you were talking about.
No, I totally understand.
Mm-hmm. So this Shadows, of course, now we're going like forward in time. So this Shadows, this is something you're currently working on that's not even on IMDb at all or anything, correct?
Oh, no. Lake of Shadows is on IMDb. It's a film I've been actually working on the last couple of years. It's been like in post-production limbo for for a while now, if you ask fans that have been waiting for it. But we're ready to release it towards the end of this year. We want to do a world premiere. We'll probably do that here in California, but we're definitely going to be looking to get it, you know, out on DVD and streaming, you know, before 2020 is over.
Well, that's cool. Because I think I got a little bit confused, because I thought there was a third movie that was just called Shadows.
Oh, no. There's Like a Shadow. Yeah, there's Like a Shadow. That's the formal name, Like a Shadow. That's now the Dark Lullaby. And then there's Lake of Shadows, Legend of Avocado Lake.
Okay, and there's not a third movie. Okay, so that's my fault, anybody that's listening. I don't know where I got that from. Oh, well. At least you told everybody what it's about. So, Tell us about this Last American Horror Show. That's going back in time a little bit.
That is. And you know what? I think this is something that I'll definitely have to try to get to a screener. But if you have Amazon Prime or Tubi TV, you can actually watch it. It's a horror anthology. It's my very first film I did. This actually includes Night of the Sea Monkey with Lynn Lowry, my very first short film. What happened was, I did a short film to test the waters, and it did really well. And then I said, you know what? I'm still not satisfied. You know, I don't know if I got lucky or what. Maybe I should do a second one. By the time I did the second one, a friend of mine that was an actor on the film said, you know what, Mike? I think you should just run the distance with this, and I think you should package this as a horror anthology like Creepshow and see, you know, if you can get it distributed. So I said, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. So I worked really hard, and I ended up getting this movie completed. It took me about 3.5 years, and there's 4 segments in it. There's 4 short stories. They're all wrapped around by the 4. There's 3 short stories that's wrapped around by a 4th. And it's on Tubi TV. It stars Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp. It has Arch Hall Jr. from The Sadist back in the in 64. Robert Mukes, he's from Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. You have Jim Van Peppers in it. He's a famous underground, you know, director. So it's got all these cult actors in it. And it's kind of my love letter to Creepshow and Tales from the Dark Side. And it's just a fun little anthology movie. But you can watch it if you got Tubi or Amazon Prime.
Well, as I already said, I love anthology, so I'll be looking forward to that one. And didn't you start on, like, the sequel? Isn't there a volume two?
Yes, there's a volume two. As a matter of fact, I completed that this past, last September. So it's in post-production. It's ready, but I got so much stuff coming down the pipe that I have to kind of slow it down a little bit. So I think I may release that in 2021. That's a really fun one. This one is actually, it went from four stories. I think we have like these really, I think we got six stories in this one, and it's a bigger version of the first one. And these anthologies are, these stories are really good. There's a little sci-fi twist. There's a little, you know, there's real good horror and some mystery. So this one's a really cool mixed bag, and it stars Mel Novak, who was in Game of Death with Bruce Lee. He shoots Bruce Lee in that movie, and they get into a big old fight and everything like that. And he was amazing to work with. He's the lead actor in it.
Cool. So what else have you got coming out? I mean, I could see on MDV what they are, but it would be more fun for you to talk about them, how you want to talk about them. Because I know you have something called Home Wrecked, and then I like the title of this one, and I don't know if it's supposed to be funny or whatever, but 6 days and 66 years, because if you just look at the numbers, it's 666.
Yeah. I only have a co-writing credit on that, but that was a really fun script to write, because I had to kind of go through some history. I was working with a gentleman in the UK, and he came up with this idea because he was in Serbia on vacation, and he got into the history books and learning about the history of like the Serbian genocide during the World War II. And he asked me to read up on it a little bit. He wanted to do kind of like a possession film. And so he had read some of my scripts before, and he says, I really like how detailed you are in your writing, and I'd love for you to write some of the horror in the film. So I'm credited as a co-writer for that, and I'm hoping this goes into full production soon, because it was really fun to write it, because I actually just got to write all the gory stuff, you know? I got to write all the carnage, and it's funny because when you write, you have to worry about every single character and making sure it arcs correctly and making sure it's consistent. But it was funny because that was all left to the other writer, and all I had to do was just write the really graphic stuff. And that was fun because I just got to jump in there and figure out new ways for people to die.
Well, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully that goes into production soon. I do have a movie that I co-produced last summer that's actually hitting video, DVD, VOD. It's called Dead Voices. And it stars Lachlan Monroe from the show Riverdale. He's also in the movie White Chicks. He's the FBI agent, and he's in a scary movie. And
anyways,
he stars in this film. Yeah, he's great. It's a movie called Dead Voices. It's a new take on found footage. It really is. I don't want to give too much away, but these two girls, one of their fiancés dies in the Iraq War, and they hire a medium because she's starting to feel that there's some kind of missing piece to it. Anyways, it kind of leads them to this mysterious cabin, and a lot of crazy stuff happens. So it's a really fun and very different found footage with a twist. And it's getting really good reviews. We shot that up in the mountains last summer, and so I can't wait for that to come out. I think it's on VOD and coming out in DVD next month, I believe. It's been a very exciting time.
Cool. you have a few other things too coming out. Why don't you just go ahead and talk about them? There's what, Homewrecked?
Oh yeah, well, Homewrecked is actually a segment that's in Last American Horror Show. I know it's separated on IMDb from Last American Horror Show, but it actually, because I shot that segment before the movie was tied together, and my producers wanted that credit put on there. But that's a really good, interesting story, just to come in to bring that one up. That story is about post-traumatic stress syndrome and a soldier that comes home from war to try to connect back with his family, his wife and his father-in-law. And during dinner, these home invaders come and break into their home and hold him hostage, and it triggers him to be that former Marine and that you know, technical killing machine. And he ends up having to, you know, overpowering these home invaders. And it's a really good little short suspenseful film. Proud of that one, actually.
Oh, I love those kind of things where the bad guy gets it when they didn't think that they would. I love those kinds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was a really fun piece to make. It really was. And I shot that in Alabama. I think that's probably the furthest I've ever traveled east to shoot a film. I've never been out to New York. I've never been out on the East Coast, but we shot that in a studio in Alabama back in 2015. And it's interesting because people see this movie and they see this home getting invaded and everything. And actually, we were actually in a studio, and we actually built that set with materials from Home Depot. And you honestly, when you're watching the movie, believe it's a home. Huh. Movie cool. Magic.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The magic of the movies, believe me, I know. So with that, you're the executive producer on the Homewrecked. Is that what it is?
I executive produced it. I wrote it and I also directed it. So I kind of juggled every hat on that one.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. When you wear lots of hats, doesn't that make it hard for you, or do you actually like doing that when you have a bunch of different hats that you're wearing?
Oh, no, I don't. I was asked the other day if I liked producing. I said, you know, I tell people that producing is kind of like a full-time babysitting job. And it's okay to do if that's the only job you have. But when you're actually directing and you're making sure everything that's been written is you're line producing, you're producing it. Yeah, it's hectic. I'd rather just focus on one thing. But in the indies, it doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you have to wear all the hats at once, and that, yeah, it's tedious, and it gets, you know, it's a lot for one person. But if I could just sit down and just direct some material, that'd be great. Or if I can just jump on a laptop or a phone and produce something for somebody, I could do that if that's the only job I'm given. But you know, if it's something that's really near and dear to my heart and I feel passionate about it and I do lack the personnel, then you know what? I don't mind jumping in there and doing it. It may be a brief headache, but you know what? It'll pay off in the end.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice to do what you like to do within reason, because you may like to be a producer and a writer and a director, but you don't necessarily want to do them all at the same time.
That's
so
right.
I understand what you're talking about. So this there's another one you've got coming out, pre-production anyway, Amber Alert.
Oh, yeah. That one is for director Sherry Davis. She's an actress director. She's kind of a jack of all trades too. Very talented woman. I worked with her. She was actually a character in my film Lake of Shadows, and I'm producing a film for her called Amber Alert. It's a really good one. I don't want to give too much away because it's a short story, but it's got a really interesting twist. It's about a little girl that's kidnapped by just this big menacing person, and there's a little twist at the end. So I don't want to give too much away, but that's a piece by Sherry Davis, and I'm helping produce that.
And it's pretty much what the title says. It's about an Amber Alert.
Yes,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
were
I was
you
just
saying something?
No, I wasn't, no.
Okay, sorry. Like I say, the sound gets mixed up. It's like when you have a bad cell phone connection and you're like bloop, and you think somebody's saying something, but they're not. But I did want to ask I just was going to ask you about going back in time now, because like I said, it doesn't have to be chronological order. Paranormal Believer, was that a TV series? I mean, that's what it says on IMDb, but sometimes what they have on there is correct.
Yeah, what I did for that show was I did a little bit of producing on that, but that was an interesting program to work on. I didn't have too much to do with it, but I did the website's treatments. And basically what they were going to do is they were going to kind of like Ghost Hunters, where they were going to take a skeptic and a believer, and they were going to put them on the same ghost hunt to kind of convince one another, you know, either it gets debunked or either they become the believer, you know? And so it was an interesting twist, but I did the treatment for that, and I did a little bit of the marketing, so I got a producer credit.
Cool. So I wanted to ask you about this Reformation too, because there's all kinds of Reformation. So I just was curious what that's about. Is it a horror movie or a drama or what?
Yes, it's kind of a throwback film. If you remember Invasion of the Body Snatchers, remember that movie? Yeah. It's got a similar storyline to that, and it's about, you know, this kind of cult of people that are hatching these alien things that kind of resemble humans, and they're taking young ladies, these women go on these photo shoots and everything, and they get drugged, and they start trying to clone these people, and it's really fun. I get to play I actually acted in that one. I got to play a sheriff, and that's kind of, you know, running out of that's kind of at a dead end, looking for this missing young lady. And it was a really fun movie to do. We shot that about a year ago in March, and it did really well on the festival circuit. They put it out on the film festival circuit, and I believe it won some awards. And it was just a really fun experience, and that was the first time I actually got to say lines. I actually got to act and give lines on camera, and that was pretty fun. It was nerve-wracking, but since then I've kind of gotten the hang of it. Other than that, before that I would just do like walk-on parts, or say, you know, oh, I need somebody's elbow right here, it would be me. But you know, now I'm trying, now I've gotten into kind of having to memorize lines. So but it's fun. It really is fun to kind of to try that out.
Well, that one sounds really interesting. That's another one I would probably be interested in. And didn't you act in another movie called Pray by Night? Or maybe you're acting in it, because I think you're still filming that one.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of exciting, because you'll be able to watch Pray by Night July 10th on Avail TV. It's going to premiere on Avail TV July 10th. It's a short episode for The Strange Files. I get to play, believe it or not, a sheriff again. I've become typecast as a police officer, because that is actually the third role I've played as a cop. In the film Dead Voices, I also play a sheriff's deputy investigating a crime scene. So Pray by Night, it's a really it's a good psychological horror story, and it's got a werewolf in it. So it was a fun piece to do. I got to do a little dramatic role in it. I had a very small cameo in it, but it was really fun. I worked with an actress named Amanda Renee in it, and she's a really good actress. And the werewolf looks really cool. And I can't wait for people to see this July 10th.
It sounds like it'll be exciting. So what else have you got coming up that we haven't gone over that you want to go over?
Well, I do currently have a documentary that I took part in. You can stream that like on VOD. You can watch it on Amazon Prime and a couple other streaming channels, but it's called Blood on the Reel. And Blood on the Reel, they interviewed me right when I was making my second short film as a director. And what they did was they interviewed 30 directors from around the world, and we got to tell our stories of inspiration. We got to tell our sob stories. We got to tell stories about, like, you know, almost getting called the cops on by, you know, by people because we didn't have, you know, permits and all this stuff. So it's a really cool documentary that's really interesting because you kind of get to hear all the hard knocks from, you know, directors that are struggling. Just
that sounds very cool.
And, it's a 2-hour documentary. It's jam packed. I usually when I do conventions, I have copies of it on DVD, and I always sell out of them. But it's really good, especially for aspiring filmmakers that need that inspiration and know that, like, no, it's not impossible. You just got to keep chipping away. And so it's I think it's a really good documentary, and I'd love for people to watch it. It's called Blood on the Reel. It's directed by Johnny Daggers, who is also a soldier, an independent movie director. So definitely go check that out. I'm also doing I can't talk too much about it, but I'm actually taking part in another documentary that'll be coming out again pretty soon. The subject is my hero and my coach, Jim Van Bever, who is a film director from the 80s, 90s, and now, who's very legendary and on the underground. And I get to talk a little bit about my experiences with him and learning from him. And that'll be released pretty soon.
Wow. So you're like really, really busy. When do you get time to do anything else except your movies?
Yeah, I know. And it's hard to find time. And I have 4 children. So that, you know, it is a juggling act. I tell you, when I'm not wearing a bunch of hats on the movie set, I'm already wearing a bunch of hats at home and everywhere else. But yeah, I always do though. I always do find time to do things with the family, and but they know that, you know, half of me is tied to this, and they know that they know my determination almost better than I do, so they know when I have to, you know, keep pressing on and do things, and I'm very fortunate for them to be so supportive.
Have any of your kids shown an interest in being in your movies?
You know, I've tried to get them in the movies. They get so nervous before that happens. I've always wanted them to come out and be extras. They think it's really cool. I think my youngest son may want to do some acting because he's got really good memorizational skills, and he's just a natural character of putting on act and you know, and characters. So I think he's going to probably eventually get into it. But the other ones, they think it's cool, but only from a distance. And that's okay because it's not for everybody.
No, it's not, definitely, because just like with any other profession, being a nerd isn't for everybody, being a executive in an advertising firm isn't for everybody, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about, since you had mentioned it, let's talk about the going to these cons and stuff that you go to. Do you go to mainly just the horror conventions, or do you also go to sci-fi conventions?
You know what? I do a lot of I do the horror conventions, but I also do the Comic-Cons. And I love them all, but I do know that when I do the Comic-Cons, horror is a hard sell because people do go there to see fantasy and sci-fi. And then I got all these gory pictures on my table. So, you know, they'll walk by and go, ooh, you know. But you know what? I noticed, though, that no matter where I go or whatever kind of convention it is, once people get to stop and they start talking to you and you guys you exchange stories and you kind of build this organic fan base to where people are like, wow, this was a very likable guy. I may not like really gory movies, and I don't think I do gratuitous gory movies, but it's funny that the people that you meet, and sometimes they'll follow you on social media, and they're not really into horror movies, but they just understand the process and the struggle and the effort that is being made to do something positive. Because, you know, regardless if it is a horror movie, it's always a positive experience, because I get people to do things from normal walks of life, and I bring them into an independent movie, and sometimes it changes their life.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
It's always a positive.
So you, generally speaking, have a good time going to these cons, because some people, well, everybody, they just do them kind of because they have to, because they're expected to, because if they don't, their fans will get mad at them. But then other people really love going to them. So are you one of the two of those, or somewhere in between?
Oh, no, I love going to them. To me, it's not work at all. I love talking. I love telling stories. Every fan always has a different story. You know, they'll ask me, you know, how I got started, or, you know, I always get one because they'll see the pictures on my table. They'll see that I worked with a certain actor or actress, and they'll always ask me, you know, like, oh, how was he to work with, or how was this person? And I could always tell a personal story or anything like that. And it's always fun to reminisce and then, like I said, you build new friendships, you know, and it's great. I've had fans come and visit me from another con like months back in another town, and they're like, hey, I came and see you, and I thought I'd come by and say hi to you, you know. And that's always nice to be recognized like that.
So you have a good following, and a lot of that comes from going to the conventions.
Yes, and it's it's fun, you know. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the other guests and the other vendors too. I kind of feel like we're kind of like a traveling family sometimes, you know, because a lot of us get booked at the same conventions, and it's fun just to see familiar faces, on like every other weekend or every, you know, two weekends down the line.
So out of all, and you don't have to like give specific names. Uh-huh. Is there somebody that you have really, really loved working with more than anybody else, and whatever type of job that they did, whether they were a producer, a writer, a director? And if you want to give their name, that's fine, but I didn't know if you would want to, because it might make somebody else feel bad because their name wasn't mentioned.
I try to remember everybody's name, because you know what, I genuinely love everybody I've worked with, all the actors I've worked with, and everybody that's worked so hard on my projects. I love them all to death, but I think, I'm partial to, he's my buddy, and his name is Robert Mukes. He was in Bone Tomahawk. He was in House of 1,000 Corpses. Anyways, he and I do the convention circuit together. So we carpool. So, you know, we're chums. We're, you know, we take turns driving, and, you know, we go to the same hotels and everything. Anyways, he's always a joy to be around, and I always look forward to either working with him or sharing a card ride to the next convention with him.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's where it gets really cool, when you have somebody that you can go to these things with, where you're not just going by yourself and maybe not seeing anybody you don't know. And you always have somebody, well, maybe not always, but quite often you have somebody there that you can do things with after the convention's over, like go out and have. I don't know if you drink, but, you know, maybe go out or drink, or if you don't drink, go out to eat or something.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. It really is. And I'm very fortunate that we always get booked together at these shows. And, you know, it's really good because we cross-promote each other, because he acted in one of my films, you know what I mean? And I'll help him out with his customers. They'll come by and they want to do photo ops, and I'll be the photographer. And, you know, it's great. We have, like, a great little, we tag team it, and we entertain the fans, which is nice.
I know this is kind of a weird question, and it's actually probably been asked before. But Do you prefer actually making a movie or going to a convention?
If I have a preference, I think I'd be making the movie. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the convention circuit. I really do. But there's this joy that I get from creating and putting these pieces together. Because what I tell people is, just like this show, when we shoot a movie, it doesn't go in chronological order most of the time. It's all bits and puzzle pieces. We may shoot the end first. We may shoot the middle of it, you know, at the end. And so I love kind of being that puzzle maker, you know. I love connecting all these pieces and saying, okay, this is where this one's going to go. And then we're going to add this and we're going to add that. And to me, that's a lot of fun. Post-production, it is grueling sometimes because, you know, software doesn't act right sometimes, and you have to sit there while things are rendering and downloading and everything else. And yeah, you have to have the patience of Job sometimes to be an editor and work in post-production. But there is just this little spark of joy that you get when you see it all come together and you realize, wow, this is really going to be entertaining. This is really, the audience is really going to believe how this happened, even though we really know how it happened.
Cool. Well, a lot of people know this about me, but when I watch a movie, I pay attention. I take a movie apart. It sounds bad, but when I say that, I mean that I can look at it and think, "Ooh, I know how much trouble it went into this just for these two guys to be sitting out on the water here in a rowboat." I know how much goes into that, and that's why I look at it that way. And I always read the credits, so. Mm-hmm. This is probably a question you might not get asked a lot, so hopefully not. But I see that you have a credit for thanks. And you thank mm-hmm. for giving somebody a motivational push. Just talk about that a little bit, because I think that's great. When one filmmaker gives any kind of motivation or pep talks or anything to another filmmaker. So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, that's, I think that was given to me by Christopher Michael Daly, I believe. And I am very honored that someone does that, because at the end of the day, I know I've done my job. If I've inspired another artist to create something, or if I've helped them somehow, even not knowingly help them, I find it a great honor, because I'm always trying to do something and I don't do it for myself. When artists create, they want to share it, you know? And
right.
And to me, when it is shared and someone endures it and they actually get inspired by it and they springboard and do their own thing, that's I mean, that's quite an honor. To me, it's a paycheck, you know, it really is. It's a good feeling, and that's what we should always be doing. As human beings, you know, we should always be always trying to help and inspire others, and you know, and in a way get inspired by them back, you know, and so I find it a wonderful honor that I'm given a special thanks for that. I'm much appreciated, and if I've taught anybody anything out there, or they've learned anything, or just, you know, been inspired, I really, you know, I'm beside myself, you know, because I didn't, you know, I was this young kid that was told, oh, you better stay, you know, you better just do your general ed. I think you might get eaten alive over there. And now, you know, I'm inspiring other filmmakers to do what they're doing. So that means something.
Yeah, well, I know that it does. And that's why I thought, you know, I'd bring it up, because I know a lot of people don't even pay attention to stuff like that. But whenever I watch those credits, and I know that when it's thanks or special thanks, it's always for something different. It could be for money that they gave, or a word of encouragement, or just that maybe they gave them a ride to the set that day. It could be anything. And when I read those credits, I always wonder what the thanking is for. Sometimes I know what they're for when I know the filmmakers, sometimes I know what they're thanking the people for. And I've even had my name on a few movies as thanks, and sometimes I didn't even know until I was told that my name was on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's a cool thing. So I'm glad you were able to help somebody else out. It means you're a nice person. And of course, I know you're not going to say, "Yeah, I'm a nice person." But, well, at least you shouldn't say that, because nice people don't. So, is there something else that you want to talk about? Because I know we don't have a lot of time left. I think we got like 4 minutes.
Well, before we end, I'll end it short and sweet. I think I had a great time on the show. I wish you tons of success in the future with the shows. I think this one will be a great one to air. I just want to replug The Strange Files. That's currently on Avail TV. You can stream that on your Apple or Roku smart TVs or devices. There's 2 episodes up now. There will be another additional 2 episodes premiering July 10th. That's on a Friday. Look out for that. Lake of Shadows, I'll be releasing that soon. The Dark Lullaby will be in film festivals as soon as everything starts opening up due to COVID-19. I'm just going to keep going, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully I'll be at a convention near you soon.
Well, I live in Ohio, so you said you haven't come this far yet, so it may be a while before you do.
That is true. That is true. But you know what's interesting? I didn't realize that you were from Ohio until this phone call. But my my coach, my directing coach, and the person I got to do a piece for in a new documentary, he's based in Ohio.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
All I was going to say was whatever you need to say. We've got like 2 minutes, and then if you were going to say something, finish that, please, and then also tell people how they can get in contact with you.
Okay. Great. This is Michael S. Rodriguez. You can find me on Facebook. Make sure you type the S for my middle name. You can follow me there. I'm also on Instagram under MSR Studios 1. That's the name of my company. You can find me there. But like I said, definitely you can find me on Avail TV under The Strange Files. So please look out for that. This has been a great time, a great show. I wish everybody out there a very happy weekend. And I guess that's it for me.
Okay, well, we timed it almost perfectly because there's like a minute and a half, I think, left. If there's some special thing that you want to blurt out in the last minute, now's your chance.
Okay, Lake of Shadows, we'll be putting that out there. Dead Voices is currently on DVD. It'll be released, I think, on VOD. You can stream that soon. Probably at the end of this month. Last American Horror Show Volume 2 is coming. We'll probably be releasing that after the first of the year. And just so much more. We expect more episodes of Strange Files on Avail. And I want to thank everybody that's actually been a part of that series. They've worked really hard to make a really, really cool product. I'm very proud of it, and I'm very proud of them. And I just want to tell them, let's continue. Let's continue and be successful as a team.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. This has been Max Musings. I'm Mac, and my guest was Michael S. Rodriguez. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Good night. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.